This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Frida Liu. You're listening to Resource Center. With substantial international experience and a passion for corporate sustainability, we're here today to speak to the newly appointed president of Global Compact Network Malaysia, the local chapter of the United Nations Global Compact, about promoting ethical business operations and also his vision for long-term societal improvements and overall uptake of corporate sustainability. I'm here with Ramesh Khanna, the president. So welcome, Ramesh. Perhaps we can start off with a little bit about the UN Global Compact Network. When was it started, the mandate for it starting, and, you know, of course, coming down, filtering down to Malaysia?
Thank you, Frida. The UN Global Compact started in the year 2000. This is in New York, where the idea, the initiative emerged. And then more recently, we set up the local chapter in Malaysia in 2008. You may well ask what's happened in the last 8 years in Malaysia. And the answer is that the whole issue of sustainability has been evolving in Malaysia. Mm-hmm. I think it's kind of getting to a point of maturity now where we need to take some bold steps and move it forward. So what's this about? What's the Global Compact about? It's really about encouraging businesses, and that's a key word. It's about encouraging businesses to adopt a more sustainable and socially responsible way of doing business. Mm. All right. So what happened is the Global Compact had developed 10 principles, and these principles covered labor, human rights, mm-hmm. the environment, and anti-corruption. In September of last year, the Global Compact decided to adopt not a set of new principles, mm-hmm. but to further articulate, perhaps more specifically, some development goals. These are called SDGs, mm-hmm. Sustainable Development Goals. And there are 17 of these. And mm-hmm. they cover everything from the empowerment of women to water, the environment, and so forth.
Right. If you look at it from a global perspective, so something that's been around for 16 years, you've got, I know, 13,000 members globally. What have been some of the things, the inroads that the Global Compact Network has managed to establish?
Now, that's an interesting question, Frida. Well, part of the issue has been that the way the organization is structured is the local chapters effectively localize the SDGs. Mm-hmm. And what's perhaps not happened as much is that we haven't spoken about our achievements, right. About our wins. Mm-hmm. Yeah. At a global level, however, the SDGs, prior to that, the 10 guiding principles, did drive the development of sustainability agendas with big companies, the reporting thereof, and the assurance side of things. So today, if you're a big corporate and you decide you want to put sustainability on the agenda for your company, what do? You go out, you employ a sustainability person, you can reinvent the wheel, or you can work with us. Mm. We've got resources. You don't need to reinvent the wheel. We'll tell you about the 17 SDGs. And it doesn't mean you've got to adopt 17 SDGs. You adopt what you think will work for you to achieve incremental change. Mm. And I think that's a really key word. And I'd like to come back to incremental change, perhaps, if we get some time later.
Okay. So in terms of you taking on this role, this year?
Mm-hmm, okay. Last month.
Okay, so this what was your vision? Well, what is your vision, doing this?
So it's like this, Freda. I've worked in, sort of moved internationally 7 times in the last 20 years. Worked across South America to Europe to Eastern Europe through to Northeast Asia and Southeast Asia, Australia. So, and the one thing you see all the time, it's just consistent, is the way our children behave. Mm. They represent, in my mind, a prism into the future. All right? So when we talk about what's the world going to look like in 20 years and what sort of companies are going to be successful, talk to your kids. All right? Because they're going to go out and apply for jobs, and I suspect It's not going to be about applying for the richest company with the most personable CEO, perhaps, but it's going to be about companies that do demonstrate a commitment to sustainability. Okay, and I say this from first-hand experience. You know, I see it, I interview graduates, I have interviewed prospective potential employees all over the world, and this is what the next generation speak about. So we're at risk, and when I say we're at risk, I mean companies today are at risk of not adopting more sustainable, socially responsible policies. And you become dinosaurs, you get left behind.
So what is this incremental change?
Incremental change. Yeah. Incremental change is a bit like this. If you drive a Mercedes, I'm not asking you to go drive a Prius, right? It's about just doing that one little thing differently each day. The one little thing. Turn off that water heater before you go to work, or turn off that light switch. If you can do one little thing, and there's 6 billion of us on this planet, we already make a very, very big change. You know? So the SDGs, you Google it, you read about it, and they sound incredibly interesting. Possibly complex, but very interesting. But we're not asking companies to go out and adopt 17 SDGs. We're saying, here are a set of guiding principles. If you do want to run your business in a sustainable and socially responsible way, here's a resource, here's some help. Not all 17 is going to work for every company in every country at every stage of economic development. Right? So you choose what you think is going to work for you. You adopt it. And if all else fails, just make that one little difference.
Right. So how does it work? Do corporations come to you? Do you go to corporations? How does this, what's the whole process?
Right. So the local chapter works on the basis that you can get in touch with us. We have a website and all of our contact details. It's membership driven, but we're talking, you know, it's not expensive at all. It's basically money to cover administrative costs. But once you become a member, you access resources right through to our friends in New York. You get help if you need help in driving your sustainability agenda, your reporting, your assurance, networking into other like-minded companies. We're not set up just for big corporates. Under my leadership, I'm specifically targeting SMEs.
Okay.
I think there's a really big issue around wealth distribution, as we well know. And I think SMEs have a very, very big role to play in equalizing that redistribution.
Okay. And of course, you know, when you look at the state of the nation, you know, in the context of ethics and corporate sustainability, what are you seeing in Malaysia?
Well, let's talk about corporate sustainability. I think Malaysia's got a culture of a CSR culture, right? It's a corporate social responsibility culture rather than a sustainability culture. And I think this is not where I want to drive our thinking from Global Compact. It's not a CSR-driven agenda, you know. And I think we spoke earlier before this interview, and I'll repeat what I said. It's that old adage about giving someone a fishing rod rather than giving them fish. So it's about sustainability.
Right.
It's about sustainability. And I think we're missing that in Malaysia at the moment. And in some small way, I think we can add to improving that situation.
Right. I know the last time we spoke with Global Compact Network anyway, with Pooven.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's one of the things that we talked about was food security.
Yes.
And I know that you're also doing something for fishermen, which is, you know, something that you'll be announcing in a couple of months. But we'll discuss that in just a moment, and the purpose of fishermen in just a moment. And Ramesh Khanna, the president of the Global Compact Network Malaysia, you're listening to Resource Centre, BFM 89.9.
Business-focused moments. BFM 89.9.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Resource Centre. This is Frida Liu. I'm here with Ramesh Khanna, the president of Global Compact Network Malaysia. And this is obviously part of the Global Compact Network, part of United Nations Global Compact. And, you know, we're just talking about how this is a new role with you as well. What are some of the initiatives that you've got lined up for this year?
Freda, thank you. I'd like to talk about, get back to the subject of income redistribution, the income inequality. And I think this is an issue that is continuing to become of some concern. I think this is the gaps widening. I think we're facing a very difficult year ahead of us, macroeconomically, not just in Malaysia, but globally. And so perhaps it's timely to talk about this. I did say earlier, incremental changes, right? So I'm not looking to change the world, but we're looking to leave Malaysia, we're looking to leave the planet a better place. So here's what it's about. We looked at the plight of fishermen on the east coast of Malaysia, the plight being defined as what do these fishermen get paid at what I call sampan level for what they catch and bring in, and what do we pay for it at supermarket level, right? And so somebody's making a lot of money in that supply chain, right? And that's probably very necessary. Yeah, there's logistics and warehousing and everything else in between. So it's probably necessary. But I'm suggesting we need to review supply chains such as this, and it's clearly not only the fishing community, but it applies to a number of other communities, farms, for example. I'm focusing on fishermen, and I'm saying there is a need to look at the supply chain. We're launching an initiative called Fair Trade for Fishermen. We're looking for some corporate input, some corporate sponsors from all along that supply chain. So I'm looking for the big buyers, you know, the folks in between, and the producers, the fishermen themselves, to input into this study. And hopefully, I would expect we'll come up with some recommendations where, with some changes to the supply chain, we get to redistribute the income a little more
fairly,
perhaps is the word, appropriately. That's the objective. Now, I know these things have been looked at before. They're not easy. Supply chains typically anywhere in the world tend to attract a high degree of infrastructure investments, which means you go build warehouses, you buy trucks. And letting go of these things don't come cheap.
Yeah.
Right. So it's a big ship to move, but it needs to start somewhere.
Okay. So what is the current supply chain? Would you be able to share with us right now? What happens when at the sampan level as it gets to a supermarket?
Well, at this stage, I can't because we're just about to start that study.
Okay.
You know, we have some ideas about what it would potentially look like. But I'd rather not preempt.
So when the study is expected to be completed
in 60 days or so.
In 60 days, and again, and from there, you're hoping that the big players will also
participate. Yes. I would expect the big supermarket chains, the buyers, to be part of this study and contribute towards this income redistribution.
Okay, so how can each of the key institutions, we're talking NGOs, corporate Malaysia, government and media, how can, you know, we all play a role in corporate sustainability?
Freda, I think it's just about, it's a way of life, it's a way of thinking. Corporate sustainability, if it's viewed as an add-on, it will die very quickly. You know, when hard times hit, it'll be the first thing that's off the agenda. So it can't be that. It does need to be a way of life. In some ways, I think it's been overplayed in the past. It's come with a big ask to society. As I said earlier, stop driving this sort of car and go for a hybrid. But it's not about that. I think it's, as I said earlier, it's all of us doing our parts. And clearly, for the big institutions, the government, some of the NGOs, and so forth, they're bigger ships to move, right? But I think we get the right people in place, the next generation. Clearly, I'm very, very optimistic. I think you will see those changes. And beyond those large institutions of government and so forth, there are regional centers that in Malaysia play a big role. And I know we have certainly been in touch with some of them who have expressed great interest in the issue of sustainability and being more socially responsible. It's not an add-on.
It's got to be the way of doing
business.
It's
a way of life. It's not an add-on.
Right. Now, the thing is also, you know, trust seems to have diminished when it comes to policymakers and all that. What can we do to rebuild this?
Difficult question. But I think it's about just doing what you say you're going to do.
Right.
Doing what you say you're going to do. And don't make promises you know you're not going to be able to keep. So, you know, and again, make small promises.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. Make small promises
but deliver,
and do it.
Yeah.
Because the big ones take a lot of time. And, you know, I'd like to see some things happen during my term as president and in my lifetime. And I think that's what it's about.
Okay, and you mentioned a little bit about working with SMEs. Maybe you can elaborate what can you do? And I guess they do represent a large proportion, you know, of the country's GDP and all that. So what can we do with the SMEs?
SMEs have clearly the engine for engine of growth for the country, and in Malaysia today, SMEs lack the support to grow their businesses sustainably. You know, again, clearly there are all the normal issues of financing and getting people to work in small companies and accessing resources and all of that. Clearly, they all still exist. But I think if we can get SMEs to start looking at running their businesses in a more socially responsible way, then I think you start attracting attention that transcends into, I think you get a success rate. Your success rate's going to be a lot better than a company that's clearly not even in this ballpark of talking about issues of sustainability and socially.
So do you feel there's a gargantuan task ahead of you?
No, I don't. Yeah. I don't. I think everybody I've met is very passionate and very committed towards this. Yeah. Okay. But I'd like to talk about the SMEs a little bit more because I think it's a underserviced group of a constituency. It's an underserviced constituency. And it's a very important piece, and it's going to be difficult both ways because I need to convince the SMEs that we can add value to them, and they need to see the value that we can bring. But I think we can do that, and it generally starts with your hip pocket. It generally starts with saying, don't just do this because it's going to make you feel good and you're going to look good, but it is actually going to make your business better. You're actually going to take home more money at the end of the day. And in that regard, there is a program called the Blue Numbers, which the United Nations launched. And it's an initiative we have already launched where we go down to farmers, we track their income levels, and it's evidence-based. Right? I will be speaking later this year in New York, and we will provide the evidence for the improvements that some of the smaller communities and SMEs have achieved. So I'd like to be able to speak more about that today, but we're not yet at that point where we can.
All right. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how things develop, you know, this year and, you know, the inroads that you'll be able to make. I was speaking to Ramesh Khanna, the president of Global Compact Network Malaysia. You've been listening to Resource Center, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.